Dear God, thank you for this day.
亲爱的主，我们为今天感谢你。
And I pray that as we study your word, that you will speak to us.
当我们学习你话语的时候，求你对我们说话。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen.
Amen.
Well, at the beginning of 2020, Elder Young asked me to teach through the Old and New Testaments in 2020.
在2020年年开始的时候，杨长老就是请我把这个旧约新约讲一遍。
And I was afraid it might be impossible to get through.
我当时有点害怕，觉得说可能不太可能把它都能按时完成。
But he was right, and we are to the end.
但是他是正确的，我们现在终于来到最后了。
So we actually are finishing 1 week early.
我们其实还提前了一个星期完成。
Although I will say, I think it helped that we are meeting on Zoom, so we had fewer interruptions.
我觉得这么说吧，因为我们是在线上的，所以呢，我们的这个就是这种干扰就是比干扰也比较少。
After today, we will take 2 weeks off.
今天之后呢，我们就有两个星期的休息。
And then starting in the second week of January, we will begin a series about the Apostles' Creed and what we believe as Christians.
然后呢, January, which day? Sorry.
January 10 or 11.
1月10号或者11号,我们就会开始有讲这个使徒信经。
And we will be looking at how our beliefs affect our life.
我们就会看，就是说我们的信仰如何影响我们的生活。
Now, today we are looking at Revelation.
今天我们要看的是《使徒行传》。
And this is actually
No, 启示录。
A very good book to read at Christmas time.
这是在圣诞节的时候来看的一本很好的书。
I try in December to always read the book of Revelation.
我每年的12月份我都想要去读这个启示录。
Because the month of December, the weeks before Christmas are what we call Advent, that look for Jesus coming.
因为在圣诞节之前的一个月我们称为降临节，就是在期待耶稣的降生。
Both his first coming and his second coming.
就是他的第一次到来跟他的第二次再来。
And so I think it is very appropriate to read and study Revelation during December.
所以我觉得在12月份来阅读来学习启示录是很合适的。
Now, let me explain what I will try to do in Revelation.
让我给大家讲一下我是这个启示录打算如何讲。
And a quote that I gave here is kind of a good introduction to what I will try to do in this book.
然后呢，我在这里所，这个就是所引用的，我觉得是作为一个开场白是很合适的。
G.K. Chesterton was a writer back in the middle of the 20th century.
大概他是20世纪的一位作家，叫切斯特顿。
And he said that in Revelation, St. John saw many strange monsters.
他说在启示录里圣徒约翰看到了很在异象中看到了许多怪兽。
But then he said none of the monsters he saw was as wild as his commentators.
但是却没有看到比他自己的讲解者更古怪的生物。
What he meant was this.
他所意味的，他所要说的是
，Many people come up with some very strange ideas about Revelation.
很多人就是到了启示录，有些很奇怪的，反正很古怪的这种解释想法。
I have a whole shelf in my library of commentaries on Revelation.
我的书架上整个一排都是这个启示录的讲解解经书。
And sometimes I am reading and I think none of them will ever agree with anyone else.
然后我在读的时候想他们每个人都不会同意另外一个人的说法。
Now, to me, that does not mean we should not study it.
对我来讲，并不是，这不是说我们就不应该去学这个启示录。
But it means we should be very humble about our interpretation.
而是在我们解释启示录的时候，我们应该很谦卑。
We should not be so sure that we are the only one who has the understanding of the book of Revelation.
我们不能说，就是说特别确定说，只有我们的解释是对的。
What I am going to try to do is to tell you what I think the big message of this book is.
我想要讲的是这个启示录里这本书卷里面的一个这个大的一个整体的信息。
And then as you read it, if you'll keep in mind that big message, then you can begin to fit in the smaller sections.
然后呢，当你读的时候，你脑中一直存留的这个大的图片，这样的你可以把那些小的那些部分呢，可以放进去。
Every year when I read this book, I see some things that I did not see before.
我每年读启示录的时候，我都会看到一些我以前没有看到的东西。
In fact, this Sunday coming up, I will preach, and part of what I will, the message will be from Revelation, part of it.
下个星期天呢，我就会讲到，那我的信息其中的一部分呢，就从启示录而来。
Something that I really never saw before this year.
在今年之前，我真的是没有看到的。
So each time you read it, I think you see more, but...For me, what is helpful is to have a framework to say, this is how the book all fits together.
然后呢，每次读的时候，我们就会看到更多。但是呢，就是说，这样子是很有帮助，就是你有一个大的一个框架，每次你看到的时候，你说这是我的这个主体。
Then you can start to put the small pieces together.
这时候你有了这框架之后，再可以把那些小的这些部分呢，这个部分放进去。
I do not like to do jigsaw puzzles.
我不喜欢就是这种就是叫什么 jigsaw.
But my mother
就是那种放那个东西，就是那个拼图。
My mother loved to do them.
但是我妈妈很喜欢。
And I learned from watching her, if you start by getting the frame.
然后你做这个就是这个拼图，你把它从最外边，从那个框架开始，四个边上开始。
Then you can fit all of the inner pieces into that frame.
然后你就可以把那些小的里边的这个小的一块一块放进去。
What I want to try to do is to give you the frame for Revelation.
所以呢，我想给大家的就是这个大的这个框架。
Because I find that many people read Revelation just by taking one chapter and trying to figure out all of the different images.
因为很多人呢，他们 读的时候呢，他们只是看到其中的一章一个章节，然后就想要说怎么来解释。
But they don't fit it into the big frame.
但是他们的解释呢，却没有办法适合到里这个整个的这个框架里边。
All right, so let's look at the frame.
所以让我们来看这个框架。
The first thing that I find is important when reading Revelation.
然后呢，在我们第一件我们读启示录，就是非常重要的是。
Is actually go back a slide first. The first thing is to figure out what question is this book answering.
第一个呢，我们要明白回答的问题是这个书要回答的是什么问题。
Now, if I ask you, what question do you ask when you read the book of Revelation?
那我要问你，你读这个启示录的时候，你会问什么问题？你的问题是什么？
Your answer would tell me a lot about what message you are going to find in the book.
然后呢？你的问题会反映出来，就是说你在这个书里边你所读到的信息是什么。
We have 20 people online.
我们现在有20个人。
I think probably 10 of you, I don't know who is who, so I'm not saying because
我也不知道谁在这里上，但是我想其中我们可能有10个人。
But at least half would probably say we read the book of Revelation to find out when Jesus is coming or what signs to look for when he is coming.
我们大概其中至少会有一半人会说，我读启示录想知道耶稣什么时候回来，然后他来的时候有什么征兆。
If that is your main question when you read the book, you will read it much differently.
如果那个是你的主要的关注，那你读启示录，你读的这个就会很不同。
You will do something like this.
你会这样的，可能会这样的读。
You will see some news on CNN.
你会看到新闻，一些新闻。
And then you will go to Revelation.
然后你就会到启示录。
And you will say, oh, maybe what I just saw was the beast in chapter 13.
然后你就会说，我刚才看到的可能就是那个第十三章的那个兽。
This must be a sign Jesus is returning.
这肯定就是耶稣要再来的这个一个征兆。
I think the big question of Revelation is a different question.
但是我觉得这个启示录的这个最大的中心的问题是一个不同的问题。
And now you can go to the second slide.
现在我们到第二个幻灯片。
You see, for the early Christians,
对那个初期的基督徒来讲，
The emperor had said, every person in the Roman Empire must declare that I am your Lord and God.
就是那个皇帝已经说了，每一个这个罗马帝国的人都要宣称说，我是他们的主和神。
He was claiming the power as the ultimate authority for everyone in the Roman Empire.
他对罗马帝国的每个人宣称他有最终的这种权柄权威。
And here is the problem.
这个问题在于
A Christian cannot say to any person, you are the ultimate authority in my life.
然后基督徒不能对任何一个人承认说你是我生命中最终的权柄。
Only God has that position.
只有神有那个位置。
But imagine yourself as a Christian in 90 AD.
想象一下你是公元90年的一个基督徒。
In many jobs, you must include in your job each day, there is sacrifice to the emperor.
在你的工作单位上呢，你每天的其中包括的一部分就是要向这个凯撒献祭。
If you want any involvement in the political realm, you must include a vow that the emperor is Lord, God and Lord, Lord and God.
然后如果你想要在政治上任何参与任何政治的话，那其中呢，你必须要有个誓言，就是你要宣称说这个皇帝是我的主和神。
And there were many people who said to Christians, don't worry about it. You don't have to mean it, just say it.
然后有很多人就对基督徒说，别担心，你不一定心里真的这么想，你就嘴巴上说说就好了。
And so Christians were forced to decide, what do we do? Who is our Lord?
然后基督徒就被迫必须要决定说，我到底说要承认说谁是主呢？
John wrote this letter, I think, to answer the question, who is Lord?
我觉得约翰写这封书信的这个就是要回答谁到底谁是主。
Chapter 1, verse 5.
第一章第五节，约翰说
Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth.
就是耶稣基督是死里首先复活为世上君王元首的耶稣基督。
The first part of that.
第一部分。
I think John is mocking the emperor.
就是约翰在嘲笑这个皇帝。
He is saying, ah, you want to claim to be Lord?
说你想称自己是主吗？
Remind me, when did you rise from the dead?
就是提醒我一下，你什么时候是从死里复活呢？
You see, if I have an emperor who is going to die,
如果我有一个将来会死的皇帝，
and Jesus who has already died and then been risen from the dead,
耶稣已经死过，但是又从死里复活。
I think the one who's risen from the dead is more powerful.
我觉得那个从死里复活的更有能力。
He is the ruler over all the kings of the earth.
他是世上所有君王元首的统治者。
In out of the 22 chapters in Revelation,
就是启示录有22章。
17 of them have the word throne somewhere in the chapter.
在每一章大概有17章里都有这个就是这个宝座的这样一个词。
In our world, that isn't so important.
在我们的世界这个词不是很重要。
But the throne was the symbol of ultimate power. Whoever sat on the throne was the ruler.
但是这个宝座呢，它象征的这个最终的这个权力，不管是谁坐在这个宝座上，就正意味着它有这个最终的权力。
And I think the book of Revelation is written to say, Jesus sits on the throne.
我觉得启示录就是告诉我们，写给我们，耶稣仍然坐在宝座上。
He is the ultimate power.
他是那个最终的权柄。
And so, for me, when you read the book, go on to the next slide.
所以当你读这本书的时候
The key to reading this book is to look for Jesus in the book.
所以呢，这个关键就是在里边找到耶稣基督的形象。
When I have read, I have taken a highlighter and every place there is a image of Jesus highlighted.
所以在我读启示录的时候我就会拿个高光笔每次他有耶稣的这个形象的描述的时候我就把它给画出来。
Now you might say, well, if that's what the book is about, then it doesn't really help us.
然后如果你可能会说如果那个就是这本书所讲的那对我可能现在没有什么帮助。
I think it helps us very much.
我觉得这个真的是很帮助我们。
You see, in every generation, we have to decide who is our ultimate authority.
在每个时代，我们都必须要决定说谁是我们最终的权柄。
Whatever we put as our ultimate authority, if it is not God, it is an idol.
如果不管是我们把什么作为我们最终的权柄，只要它不是神，那就是偶像。
For the Romans, the emperor was the idol.
对罗马人来讲，皇帝就是他们的偶像，当时。
For the Canaanites, Baal was the idol.
对迦南人来讲，那巴利就是他们的偶像。
For Americans today,
对今天的美国人来讲，
For some, money is the idol.
对有些人来讲，钱是金钱是他们的偶像。
For some, entertainment and sex is the idol.
对有些人来讲，娱乐和性是他们的偶像。
For some, politics is the idol.
对有些人来讲，这个政治的权力这个是偶像。
Whatever takes the place of ultimate meaning in my life is either God or an idol.
在我生命中就是占这个最终意义最终最重要的这个位置的或者是神或者就是偶像。
And so Revelation speaks very much to us today.
所以启示录跟我们今天的人很有关系。
Who is Lord?
谁是主?
All right, so a little background to the book, the next slide.
所以我们就看这个启示录的背景。
This book is written somewhere around 90 AD.
这个书卷呢，大概应该是公元90年代写的。
It is the second period of great persecution for the Christians.
这是第二波的对基督徒的一个大逼迫。
The first time of persecution was under Nero.
第一个大的逼迫是在尼鲁皇帝统治之下。
This period of persecution is under an emperor named Domitian.
这次的逼迫呢，大概是在这个多米田的逼迫之下。
The Apostle John is an old man.
这个时候呢，这个使徒约翰已经很年迈了。
Around 90 years old.
可能已经是90岁左右。
Now before someone says, wait a minute, that's not very old, I'm 95.
可能他等一下，有些人会说，哦，那不是很老，我都95了。
90 was very old at that time in the first century.
在第一世纪90岁那是非常非常老了。
In fact,It was so unusual that there was a rumor started that John was never going to die.
因为非常的不寻常，甚至那时候有一个谣言，就说约翰不会死。
He has been a pastor at the church at Ephesus.
他是这个以弗所教会的牧者。
And if you'll go down to the next slide, I'm going to have you show three slides and then I'll come back.
Okay.
Patmos is the little island with the little red dot.
这个拔摩这个海岛呢，就是这个图上所显示的这个红色的这个小红点。
The next slide fits it into the whole area there of the Mediterranean. If you go to the next,
我们看下边这张幻灯片，这个就是整个这个地中海，你就可以看到这个拔摩海岛的位置跟这个。
And then if you want to see a picture of it, this is a picture from about 5 years ago.
这大概是五年之前这个拔摩海岛的一个照片，一个图片。
It was not a Caribbean island, it was a prison island.
它可不是加勒比海的一个岛，它是一个流放的一个岛。
John is sent there as punishment to isolate him so that he cannot reach out to other people and spread the gospel.
然后呢，约翰被放在那个岛上呢，是一个作为一种惩罚，这样子他没有办法去传福音，跟别的人基督徒都已经分开隔离了。
He probably feels like his work is over.
他也许在那个时间觉得他在地上的工作已经完了。
I'm an old man.
我年纪已经很年迈了。
I'm on this island and I'll probably never be able to leave.
然后我可能就一直要待在这个岛上，也没机会会出去。
The church is being persecuted and I can't help them.
教会在被逼迫，我也没法帮助他们。
But the book begins with a revelation that is given to him on the Lord's day.
但是呢，这个启示录的开始就是在主日的时候有一个启示显给他。
And that Revelation becomes a great encouragement to the early Christians.
然后这个启示就成为初期教会一个很大的鼓励。
It says to them, God is in control.
这告诉他们神在掌管。
And even though you are suffering and you don't understand, God is working out his purpose.
虽然你们在受苦，你们也不明白为什么，但是呢，神在成就他的旨意。
If you'll jump down, I'm sorry to take this out of order, sister, but if you'll jump down to slide 10.
如果我们到第十张幻灯片。
I should have, and I haven't figured out how to do PowerPoint well enough, but if you will take your mouse and find Ephesus.
Yeah, can you see?
Yes.
I will use this one.
Okay, and then go up to Smyrna.
Give me a moment. Let me...
Straight up.
Okay, 这个是以弗所教会，这个是斯美纳教会。Okay.
Now, go straight up to the top of the map to Pergamum.
然后我们再去where is the Pergamum? Oh,
all the way at the top.
这就是那个别加摩教会。Okay,
yeah.
这个就是别加摩教会。
Now...Go to the right to Thyatira.
这个是推亚推拉教会。
Now come straight down to Sardis.
然后到萨迪，这个是萨迪教会。
Now go to your right to Philadelphia.
然后这个就是菲拉铁菲教会。这是菲拉铁菲教会。
And then come down to Laodicea.
这个是老底加教会。
If a person was...traveling in a big circle.
如果有一个人呢，他在比如说他就是走一个大的一个像一个圆圈似的在这样的走。
That's the order they would have come to in the cities.
如果他们这样走个循环，那就是他们的这个去这个教会的一个顺序。
And when you look at Revelation 2 and 3, that's the order of the seven churches that he writes.
所以你看他在启示录里的这个就是二章跟三章，那就是他写信的这个教会，就是这个顺序。
I think John writes this letter and he sends a messenger to go in that big circle and bring it to each of the churches. And he has a special message to each church.
然后呢，我想约翰呢写这封书信呢，他就是按照这个书信会达到的这个顺序呢来写给每个教会的。
Now, he is writing, I think, to say to them, Jesus is Lord.
我想他写信的目的告诉他们说耶稣是主。
And because he is Lord,
因为他是主。
We have hope.
我们有盼望。
God is in control.
神在掌管。
Yes, we may suffer.
是的，这是一种条受苦的路。
But God is still going to accomplish his purpose.
但是神仍然会成就他的旨意。
So how does he do that?
那神是如何做呢?
If you'll go now to slide 8.
我们现在回到第八章幻灯片。
When you read this book,
当我们读这封书信的时候,
you are seeing many, many visions.
你会看到很多的这个意象。
Now, when we started the New Testament, I told you you must read a book based on the style and the intention of the author.
我就告诉你们，当我们读这个书信书卷的时候，我们要理解这个作者的这个风格跟他的这个目的，写作的目的。
Revelation is the only book in the New Testament that uses this kind of visions.
启示录是新约里边唯一应用这样子的意象的一本书。
It is what we call apocalyptic.
我们称为这个启示性的文学。
Something that looks at history through visions.
然后它是通过意象来看待历史。
Now here is where we come into a challenge when you read this book.
我们的面对的挑战就是读这本书面对的挑战就是
We can read it and we can interpret the images our own way.
当我们读的时候呢我们可以把这些里边的形象用自己的方式自己的理解来解读。
But when we read these images, we need to see it the way John saw it.
当我们读这个书卷的时候，我们应该是用约翰的眼光来看待这些。
And there is one place that he got his images.
他只有一个地方，他得到了他这个所看到的这个形象。
The Old Testament.
是就是旧约。
Out of 400 verses in Revelation.
就是启示录里边一共有400句经文。
Almost 300. Have some reference back to the Old Testament.
大概其中有300句都会引用到有一根是旧约相连的。
Now, here is why this matters.
为什么这个很重要呢?
You will understand this better as Chinese readers than some of my younger students would.
你作为这个中国有这种背景的读者，可能比我的年轻的大学的学生理解的会更好。
John is going to talk about a dragon all through this book.
这个约翰会整本书从头至尾会讲到一个龙。
Now, a Chinese person might see that dragon and think of the Chinese imagery of a dragon.
中国人读到这个龙的时候就会想起来中国这个文化里对龙的这个描述。
But John was not Chinese.
但是约翰他不是中国人。
He never got to go to China.
他也从来没去过中国。
For him, a dragon is from the Old Testament.
对他来讲，这个龙呢，这个形象是来自于旧约。
And a dragon in the Old Testament represents a monster who is the enemy.
在这个旧约里边呢，这个龙呢，是代表了一个怪物，或者中国说妖怪也好，它是神的敌人。
And so when he describes this dragon,
所以当他,
something who is the enemy of God's people.
所以当他来描述这个龙的时候，他的意思就是说这个怪兽呢，他实际上是神的敌人，代表了神的敌人。
Over and over in this book, he is pointing back to the Old Testament.
所以一再的他在把这本书就他在指向旧约。
And that helps us very much to interpret the book.
所以这个会很帮助我们来解读这本书卷。
Let me just give you one example that I came across this week.
然后这个星期我正好看到一个，我可以给你解释一下这个，做例子来解释。
In Revelation 12, he says that the Messiah will rule the nations with a rod of iron.
在他讲到说弥赛亚会用这个铁杖来统管世界。
Now, many, many commentators talk about that as a royal scepter.
就很多的这个解经家呢，解经者都把它解释成一个是一个皇带有皇家权威的这样子一个权杖。
But John never went to England.
但是约翰呢，从来没有去过这个英国。
He wasn't British.
他不是英国人。
And Jewish kings did not have a royal scepter.
这个犹太人的君王呢，以色列的君王，他们是没有这个皇帝的这样一个权杖。
But in the Old Testament, we read about a rod of iron.
但是在旧约里面，我们确实读到这个铁杖。
It's a shepherd's club.
他的，有名 ，the iron of the okay.
The rod is a shepherd's club.
But it's not iron.
This one is, but no, not in the old, yeah.
它就在旧约里边，我们读到这个杖，就是是其实是牧羊人用的一个杖。
And the shepherd took the rod to fight off the enemies who would attack the sheep.
然后呢，这个牧羊人就用这个杖呢，去跟这个来攻击羊群的这个动物呢，来打，然后就是保护羊群。
I think that John says this.
我觉得约翰他的意思是说
Messiah comes and he will have the shepherd's club.
然后弥赛亚到来，他会有这个牧羊人的杖。
But his club is stronger than anyone else's. His is iron.
他的杖呢，比任何牧羊人的杖都更强壮，因为他的这个杖是铁杖。
And with this club, he will shatter.His enemies.
然后又用这个铁杖呢，他会真的是打碎他的敌人。
It is an image of power and strength.
它是一个就是代表能力和力量的一个形象。
As God defeats all those who have fought against him.
就是神会击败任何跟他作对的抵挡他的力量。
All right, so the book goes back to the Old Testament.
然后这个书卷呢，启示录指向旧约。
And it uses Old Testament images to look at history.
它是用旧约里边的形象来看历史。
There's one more thing I want you to see about this kind of apocalyptic literature.
还有一点我想帮助让大家看到的关于启示文学的东西。
The Greeks and Romans said that history goes like this.
希腊人跟罗马人，他们认为历史就是一个圆圈，就是在不断的循环。
A cycle that just keeps repeating over and over.
就是就像一个圆圈似的，在不断的重复自己。
The book of Revelation says history goes like this.
启示录告诉我们，历史呢是一个像一个直线这样的，在向一个方向走。
It is headed to a goal.
然后他最终他是有个目标的。
And when we reach that goal, everything will be wrapped up and make sense.
然后当我们到了那一点，到了那个目的地的时候呢，每样东西就好像有个终结，就都有意义了。
Revelation then is the perfect book to end the Bible.
所以呢，这样的启示录就是最后圣经结尾的最完美的一本书。
Because it says everything that has happened is headed here.
因为告诉我们每样所发生的事情，最终他们的目的地是在那个地方。
This is our ultimate goal.
这是我们最终的目的地。
Now, I have put on slide 9.
我们在第九张幻灯片。
A term from literature classes.
就是有一个文学角度来描述的一个词语。
Many great books do this pattern.
很多很伟大的这个著作都是有这样子一个模式，一个格结局。
Start with a happy beginning.
它开始于一个幸福的美满的开始。
You go through great troubles.
然后呢，你就经历很大的困难。
But at the end,God or the story comes together with everything the way it should be.
然后最后呢是一个大结局，是一个幸福的一个结局。
One example of that my kids always like to read was the Ring, Lord of the Rings.
那我的孩子们很喜欢读的一本小说就是《指环王》。
All kinds of trouble, but then it leads to victory.
有很多的这个困难艰难但最后呢一个得胜一个很大的胜利。
For the story of the Bible,
对于圣经中的故事
we start, and to me this is one of the keys to understanding the picture of the end times in Revelation. We start in a garden.
然后呢这个是理解这个启示录里边这些的关键就是我们比如说我们开始于一个很美的一个花园一个园子
Everything is perfect.
每样事情都是完美无缺。
Man sins.
然后接着呢人开始犯罪。
And now our world is disrupted.
现在我们的世界好像整个就被中断了。
But God does not give up on our world.
但是神并没有放弃我们这个世界。
Instead,He steps into our world.
相反呢，他进入到我们这个世界。
And becomes a part of it.
然后成为这个世界的一部分。
Revelation gives us a picture of that.
然后启示录就给了我们这样一个图像。
Chapter 12, chapter 13 and 14.
第十二章、十三章、十四章。
I'm going to preach a little bit about that on Sunday.
我星期天会讲到，会提到这些。
But chapter 12 gives us a picture of God stepping into our world.
第十二章给了我们一个图片，就是神降临到我们这个世界。
Satan fights it.
然后撒旦就在抵挡，在和这个征战。
And so, since Satan cannot defeat Jesus,
因为撒旦不能胜过耶稣。
Chapter 13, Satan attacks God's people.
这撒旦就开始攻击神的百姓。
But by chapter 14, we see a picture of God's people winning victory.
然后到第十四章，我们就看到神的子民、神的百姓在赢、在争得胜。
The book of Genesis begins with a perfect garden.
这个创世纪始于一个完美的园子。
All of scripture is the struggle between God and Satan.
然后这个所有的这些经文都在一个神和撒旦之间的一个征战。
And then we come to the end of Revelation.
然后我们到了启示录的结束。结尾。
Chapter 22, there is a river of the water of life.
然后到第二十二章就讲到这个生命河。
The tree of life with 12 kinds of fruit.
这个有生命树结十二样果子。
We are back in a garden.
我们又回到了那个园子，一个园子。
Everything is restored to the way it should be.
每样事情又恢复到他们应该的成为的那个样子。
And I think that is one of the keys to understanding this book.
我觉得这是要了解这本书卷的一个关键。
To understand that this book is showing us how God is going to restore our world. to what he intended to be from the beginning.
就是向我们展示神是如何来重建恢复我们的世界，让它成为它本来应该成为的样子。
When you understand that,
当你了解这一切的时候，
you can read those middle chapters of Revelation.
你可以读到这个启示录中间的那些部分，那些章节。
And not be afraid.
然后不会害怕。
When I taught in the college, I would ask my students, what is your least favorite book in the New Testament?
在我教这个大学的时候，我会问我的学生，哪个是你新约里最不喜欢的书？书卷。
And always there would be some who said Revelation.
总是会有人说启示录。
And I would say, why?
我就会问他们说为什么？
It's frightening.
他说这个挺吓人的。
There's too much scary things in it.
就是在这个其中有很多很吓人的这样子，很吓人的东西。
But if you understand that it is showing us how God is going to bring us through those battles to victory, then it does not have to be frightening.
然后但是当你能够了解到说，看到神是怎么带领我们经过，就是经过这些征战，然后最后得胜，那你就不会害怕。
Now let me quickly show you four ways that people have read this book.
让我很快地向你展示大家人们读这本书的四种方式。
And for me, the easiest way for you to understand this is a group of kind of cartoons.
这个我觉得就可以用这卡通片来显示。
Number 12, slide 12.
第十二个幻灯片。
One way that people have read this book is that John is writing only to his time.
有一种读法就是说约翰只是对他的那个时代的人在写，他的书信是写给他的时代的人的。
John is there on the left side of the screen.
这是约翰。
He is looking at the time of his own period.
他是看他那个时代。在看他的时代。
We are on the right side of the screen.
这是我们戴这个蓝色帽子。然后我们就在回溯回顾。
So for that view, everything that happened in Revelation happened during John's life.
所以呢他们就说在约翰就是启示录里所记录的所写的一切的事情在约翰的那个时代都已经发生过了。
I think that view of Revelation is too small.
我觉得那个对启示录的观点就太小了。
It misses the big picture of the book.
然后呢，我的看法观点就是说，他们错失了这个启示录这个整体图片。
More common has been the next slide.
再更普遍的是这样一个历史派的观点。
And that is to say that John is looking at the history of the church.
就是说约翰所看的是整个教会历史。
And we are looking with him at that.
我们跟他同时在看这个教会的历史。
And so people who have read it this way.
所以如果人是用这种观点来读的话。
We'll look, for instance, at the seven churches.
他们会看比如说这七个教会。
And they will say, this is the church that was in the Middle Ages.
说这是在中世纪的教会。
This is the church that was in the Reformation.
这是在那个改革时期的教会。
This allows the book to speak to all of us.
这样呢就允许这本书卷对我们所有的人说话。
But for me, one problem with that is we keep changing the meaning of the book.
对我的一个问题就是说他们在不断地改变这本书的里边所讲的意思。
Because every generation who reads it says, okay, we are now at Laodicea.
因为每一个读这本书卷的作者都可以说哦，现在我们到了老底嘉教会时代。
And so the meaning keeps changing.
所以这个里边的意思也在不断地改变。
Because of that, some people have gone to slide 14.
所以因为这样呢，所以有些人又到了有一种这种理想派观点。
and said none of it is history at all.
所以这些都不是历史。
It's just a symbol of good and evil.
这就是一个善恶的象征。
But to me, that misses the fact that it seems to me John is describing something that will happen.
对我来讲，这种观点他就是没有讲到说，约翰他其实在讲一些要发生的事情，将要发生的事情。
I think probably the most common view today is
15. 今天应该是最普遍的一个观点，就是这个第十五章幻灯片。
That says everything after chapter 3
就是
the future.
就是从第三章就第四章开始，这以后所发生的一切都是发生在会在未来，是末世。
And I would agree that much of Revelation is looking to the future.
我也同意，就是说启示录的大部分都在看未来，看这个以后。
Where I would hesitate about this approach,
但是我对这一点不确定的是，有点犹豫的是
is I think that it is both future and present.
我觉得这个四章二十二节就是既是关于未来的，也是关于现在的，也是关于过去的。
Let me try to show you what I mean if you'll go to slide 18.
我到最后一张画呢，我给大家讲我的意思是什么。
It seems to me
对我来讲
that John is doing this.
约翰所做的是
he is setting back and he is looking at history.
他好像在看整个人类，整个历史。
And he is seeing the big picture in his visions.
他在他的这个意象中看到了这个大的这个图片。
He sees them in an order.
他看着他们是有一个这样一个次序的。
But what they are describing is a series that may happen like this.
但是他所描述的所讲的这样的发生的事情好像是有一系列一系列的，可能是这样的一个在循环。
He is showing us what is happening here from the perspective of God in heaven.
他是从在描述这个地上所发生的事情，但是他的角度呢是从天上的神的角度来看。
And out of that comes a great hope for God's people.
然后出于这个给神的百姓带来很大的盼望。
Because if we can see our world from God's perspective, it will look much different.
如果我们可以从神的眼光，神的角度来看待我们现今的世界，那会非常的不同。
I like to read history.
我喜欢阅读历史。
And there are two ways for writers to write a history of a war.
就是对于那个历史作者来讲，他有两种方式来写历史。
One is to write from the perspective of a person in the battle.
一种呢是从身处在那个战争环境中，在那个战斗中的这个参与者的亲身经历来写。
And he is describing what he can see.
他在描述他所能看到的。
And it's very dramatic.
非常的具有戏剧性。
And it's very real.
也很真实。
But it's very limited.
但是呢，很受限。
As far as he's concerned, the whole battle is right in front of him.
然后他所在意的就是整个的这个，他就是在他眼前的这个征战。
If people are shooting at him, we are losing the battle.
如果别人在对他开枪呢，他就是在输掉这个战争。
But if he is shooting at them, we are winning the battle.
如果他在对对方开枪，那我们就在赢这场战斗。
It's very limited.
是非常的受限。
The other way to write history is to look at it from the big picture.
另外一种写作历史的方式呢，就是从把它当成一个整体的图片来看，从整体来看。
Here is what whole armies are doing as they are moved from place to place.
这是我们整个军队他们所做的，他们从一个地方到另外一个地方。
I think Revelation does both.
我觉得启示录是两个都写到了。
And so, let me give you an example.
我给大家一个例子。
Chapter 6 and 7.
比如说第六章、第七章。
Is looking from the perspective of earth.
是从地上的角度来看的。
There is judgment.
这里有有审判。
There is famine.
有饥荒。
There is earthquakes.
地震。
There are plagues.
然后有瘟疫。
All of these troubling things that are happening to us.
所有这些很大的艰难的事情在发生在我们地上，发生在我们中间。
But now look at chapter 7 verse 9.
但是看第七章第九节。
After this I looked, and behold, there was a great number that no one could number.
此后我观看，见有许多的人，没有人能数过来。
From every nation, every tribe, every people standing before the throne.
是从各国、各族、各民、各方来的，站在宝座和羔羊面前。
And they are crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne.
也大声喊着说，愿救恩归于坐在宝座上我们的神。
And you have this wonderful picture of praise in heaven.
你有一个这个很好的这个在天上赞美神的图片。
But go to chapter 8 verse 6.
但是再到第八章第六节。
Now the seven angels who had seven trumpets were getting ready to blow them.
拿着七支号的七位天使就预备要吹。
An angel blows his trumpet.
第一位天使吹号。
And a third of the earth is hit with hail that explodes into fire.
就有包子与火掺着血丢在地上，地的三分之一和树的三分之一被烧了。
And chapters 8. 9, 10, the first part of 11 show us all of the trouble that's happening on earth.
八章、九章、第十章、第十一章的前半部分都向我们描述了在地上的一切的艰难、一切的麻烦。
But look at chapter 11, verse 15.
但是看第十一章的第十五节。
The seventh angel blew his trumpet.
第七位天使吹号。
And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord.
天上就有大声音说，世上的国成了我主和主基督的国。
We have praise in heaven.
我们就有在天上的这个赞美。
Go to chapter 12.
我们再到第十二章。
While this praise is happening in heaven.
在天上有这个赞美的时候。
On earth.
在地上
A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with sun, the moon under her feet, and on her head the crown of 12 stars.
天上显出大异象来，有一个妇人身披日头，脚踏月亮，头戴十二星的冠冕。
And you have a picture of the birth of Jesus.
你又有这个耶稣出生的这个图片，图像。
We're running out of time, but here's what is happening.
这是我们，这是一切所发生的，我们没时间了。
He is going back and forth between the view in heaven and the view on earth.
所以他在不断的描述在天上的这个景象跟在地上的景象。
Some of this, I think, is the future.
我觉得有些是会发生在未来。
Some is during John's time.
有些是在约翰的时代。
Some is today.
有些是今天的时代。
But here to me is what John wants us to see.
这是约翰想让我们所看到的。
While all of this is happening on earth,
当这一切发生在地上的时候，
heaven is filled with praise.
天上却充满了赞美。
Now, here's what I want you to see.
这是我想大家看到的。
Heaven is filled with praise not because God doesn't care what happens on earth.
天上充满了赞美，并不是说神不在意，神也不关心地上发生了什么。
There is only one reason that there can be such celebration up there while we have all this trouble down here.
唯一的一个就是在天上有那样子的一个庆祝，而我们在地上是这样的情况的原因就是。
And the reason is,
这个原因就是
in heaven,
在天上
everyone already knows the end of the story.
每个人都已经知道这个故事的结局。
And they know that we are going to win.
他们知道我们会得胜。
They're already celebrating because they already know how it finishes.
他们已经开始庆祝，因为他们知道最终会怎么结束。
Now here's why that matters for us.
那为什么对我们这个重要呢？
I know a lot of Christians.
我知道很多基督徒。
Who do not really believe deep inside that God is going to win.
在心底的深处并不相信神最后 会得胜。
They say they believe it.
他们嘴巴上说他们相信。
But they don't.
但是没有。
They are scared to death.
他们怕得吓得要死。
That if China passes a new law, God will lose.
如果中国再通过一个新的法律，那神就输了。
They are scared to death.
他们就怕得要死。
Wins, God will lose.
如果一个一个错误的一个就是一个总统上台，那神就输了。
I know because they told me we can't have a revival if we have the wrong president.
因为他们告诉我，如果我们有这个错误的总统，那我们就不可能有复兴。
In other words,
另外一句话就是
，God is weaker than the government.
就是神比这个政府更软弱。
Revelation says, no.
启示录说不是这样的。
While we are down here pulling out our hair in frustration.
我们在地上好像拽着头发非常的上气在那里。
They're having a party in heaven.
他们在天上其实是有一个派对的。
They're celebrating.
他们在欢庆。
Because they know already.
因为他们已经知道
God is going to win.
因为神会得胜。
And here is what I would like for you to understand from this book.
所以这个就是我希望你们从这本书里所能够明白的。
If we understand that,
如果我们真的明白
you and I can join the party already.
我们应该已经可以参加那个欢庆。
That's what Revelation 4 tells me.
这是启示录告诉我的。
A door was standing open in heaven.
就是启示录第四章告诉我说天上有一扇门。
And John tells us what's happening up there.
约翰就告诉我那个后边发生的这个是什么。
And so I can read this.
所以我可以读。
And I can join the celebration.
我也可以加入那个欢庆。
Revelation used to be my least favorite book of the Bible.
启示录过去是我原来最不喜欢的一本书。
I didn't understand all of the images, and so I didn't like it.
因为我不理解这个里边所有的形象，所以我也不喜欢。
Now it is one of my most favorite books.
现在它是我最喜欢的一本书。
When there is an election,
当有大选的时候
I read Revelation.
我就读这个启示录。
And yes, I have the news on listening to what's happening.
然后我确实有这个新闻告诉我们都发生了什么。
And I am either glad or disappointed.
或者是我高兴或者是我失望。
But when it's all done,
但当一切都结束的时候
I read Revelation 5.
我就读启示录第五章。
And join the celebration.
然后就加入那个欢庆。
Because whatever happens down here,
不管说地上发生了什么
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
你配拿书卷
To receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and glory and honor and blessing.
城被杀的羔羊是配得权柄、丰富、智慧、能力、尊贵、荣耀、颂赞的。
And you and I are invited to join that.
你和我都被邀请去加入这个欢庆。
Because of COVID this year,
因为今年的疫情,
there are not very many public activities, concerts.
所以就没有这种这种大公开的活动，像这种音乐会啊，庆祝。
And my wife really likes Christmas concerts.
我太太很喜欢这个圣诞节的音乐会。
Today is our 35th anniversary.
哦，今天是我们的结婚第35年那个结婚纪念日。
And I wanted to take Sue to a concert.
我很想带她去一场音乐会。
But there's nowhere to go.
但是却没有地方可以去。
But I found out that last Friday night was a concert online.
但是上个星期我发现有一个这个网上的音乐会。
You could buy a ticket and watch it.
你可以买这个票然后可以看。
And so I bought the ticket.
所以我就买了票。
And was going to keep it a secret.
然后我就想把这个成为一个秘密。
But I said, make sure you don't schedule anything for Friday night.
然后我就给他说，你星期五晚上我们不要计划任何事情。
Why?
为什么？
It's a secret.
我说那是秘密。
Finally, partway through the week.
然后呢，就这个上个星期过了一半的时候。
Who said, what's the secret?
然后太太就问我，到底你的小秘密是什么？
And I told her.
然后我就告诉他了。
And oh, she was so excited.
她很兴奋。
And about Wednesday, she said, I am so happy you told me.
然后到星期三的时候就告诉我说，我真的很高兴你告诉我了。
Because now I can keep looking forward to it.
因为现在我就可以就是在等着，在盼望盼着那一天。
The excitement in waiting was part of the present.
然后呢，就是在等待中间的这种兴奋也是礼物的一部分。
Revelation
启示录
is part of the present.
也是这个礼物的一部分。
It says to us,
他就告诉我们
,Yes, things may be difficult right now.
是的，现在的时期可能世代艰难。
But there is a celebration that is so sure that it's already started.
因为有一个欢庆，有个庆祝，那么的确定，现在已经开始了。
And so we can rejoice.
所以我们可以喜乐，可以欢庆。
We can enjoy it starting now.
我们可以现在就开始想，开始来享受这个礼物。
We don't have to be afraid.
我们不需要害怕。
Back to what I said about the histories of a battle.
让我讲到说那个战争的历史。
If you are the soldier and all you can see is right around you.
如果你是这个士兵的话呢，你就只在这个战役中，你只能看到你眼前的。
You may think, oh, we are losing.
你可能以为说，哦，我们在打败仗。
But imagine if you could see from above.
但是想象一下，如果你可以从上面来看。
And you knew your side was winning the battle.
你知道你的那一方在赢整个的这个战争。
Yes, there would still be danger for you personally.
对你个人来讲，你仍然要面对危险。
Yes, there would still be people trying to shoot you.
还是有人像可能要射击向你开枪。
But you could have a kind of confidence. We're going to win.
但是你可以有一种确定，你有一种信心说我们会赢的。
The idea that I am fighting for will win even if I suffer.
那种就是说不管怎么样我们最后是赢的就算说我在受苦。
That's revelation.
那就是启示录。
And so between now and the end of the year.
所以从现在到这个今年的结束。
I would encourage you to read the book of Revelation.
我就是鼓励大家去读启示录。
We have 10 days.
我们还有十天。
So if you read 3 chapters a day, you'll get done.
所以你如果一天读三章的话，你到年底就读完了。
And read it knowing.
读的时候就知道。
This shows where history is going.
告诉我们说，这向我们显示历史最终的结局是怎么样的。
We may be in chapter 13 right now.
我们现在也可能在第十三章。
But we're going to end up in chapter 21.
但是最终我们会结束在第二十一章。
God is winning.
神在得胜。
And we get to have a part in that.
我们会成为这个得胜的其中的一部分。
And that should give us encouragement.
那会带给我们，应该给我们心里带来鼓励。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Dear God, help us to be people who trust you.
主啊，求你帮助我们成为真正信靠你的子民。
We live in a world that can be very discouraging.
我们生活的世界可能让我们很灰心丧气。
We can become very frightened by what we see around us.
我们可能会被我们周围所看到的会惧怕。
But Lord, would you help us to lift our vision from this world to your world?
主啊，求你帮助我们，让我们的眼光从这个世界挪开，真的是挪到你身上。
To know that you're in charge.
让我们知道你在掌管。
And that you will win the victory.
你会赢得这一场，你会得胜。
I pray in Jesus' name.
我们这样祷告，奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen.
Amen.
I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
希望大家圣诞快乐。
And that you will have a great sense of peace that God's in charge.
然后就是有这样子的一个平安，知道说神在掌管。
Merry Christmas.
圣诞快乐。
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much.